The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Because so often we feel we have to kind of hide that part of ourselves from God and from one another. But I think that that's a trick of the enemy, to keep our darker side in the darkness. Whereas the invitation from God is right now to bring all of who you are into the light.
Next on Life Today, Sheila Walsh helps you learn how to start holding on when you've messed up.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh. You know, I was cleaning out drawers the other day, something I've been meaning to do for a long time, and I found an old journal that dates back to the month I spent in a psych hospital in 1992. And, you know, just reading through some of it was kind of shook me. I remember the fear I felt, deep gut-level fear of what would happen to me when people found out that I had spent time in a psychiatric hospital. I mean, I remember how that felt. Mental illness, particularly in the church, held so much stigma. Now, we've come a long way since then, and I'm sure we have a longer way to go. But when I was hospitalized, I didn't know of one other Christian who struggled with depression. As far as I knew, I was the only one who was falling apart and failing God. For me, it was the perfect storm, where my greatest fear crashed into my most deeply held belief. Don't let anyone see the real you or they will leave, bumping into, I'm too broken to be loved. I wonder what those deeply held beliefs are for you. We all have them. They were usually etched into our souls when we were young. And they're not all negative beliefs. Many of the beliefs are the strong foundation stones that set us up for healthy choices later in life. You know, when you look for a husband, for example, if you were raised by a dad who loved you well and spoke words of life over you, you're less likely to fall for someone who just tears you down. That message would sharply contradict with what you know to be true and how relationships should be. If you were raised to believe that you're smart and gifted and God has an amazing plan for your life, then you won't quit the first time someone says no to you when you want to go to a particular college or apply for a new job. If the initial responses are negative, you'll just keep trying until you succeed. Those kinds of deeply held beliefs, they're kind of like a balloon that lifts us up. But when the messages are negative, however, they're likely to be weights that pull us right back down to earth the moment that we try to rise. You know, I think of so many of the responses I've had when I've asked that question on Facebook. Some of the messages are like these: you'll never amount to anything. You'll always be overweight. You don't deserve to be happy. You are a mistake. There's something wrong with you. You look awful in that outfit. Well, those kinds of messages, they have very loud voices and they're hard to ignore. So how do we counter something we've believed for a long time? How do you and I silence the lies? Well, I have some daily habits that have helped me, and they might sound simple, but they are genuinely foundation stones for me. Number one, studying God's word. I never let a single day go by without reading God's word. I mean, I read it out loud. I'll choose a particular verse and meditate on it during the day. I read what God says about my life, no matter how I might feel at that moment. If your deeply held beliefs tell you that you're not worth loving, that you'll never change, then find some go-to verses that confront those lies. Here are a couple of my favorites. For the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then, my faithful love for you will remain. And my very favorite read it every day passage from Romans. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whatever your particular struggle is, find truth in God's Word and read it over, over, over yourself every day, as often as you need to silence the lies. Okay, number two, basic foundation stone, prayer. Now, I wrote a whole book about prayer called Praying Women in 2019 because I recognized this was a weak area in my life. So now I pray when I first get up in the morning. And honestly, when I'm first awake, it's more of a good morning, Lord, than anything else. It's my way of greeting a new day, but in God's presence. Then I have times when I'm specifically praying and interceding for a particular person or a situation. But I talk to my Father all day long, when I'm in the car driving up to Life, when I'm waiting in the grocery line, when I'm happy, when I'm sad, when I'm worried, I talk to the Lord. Number three, foundation stone, worship. Now, I have a worship playlist on my phone. I've chosen songs that have deep spiritual truth, songs that remind me of the unfailing love of God. I worship along when I'm having a good day or a bad day. When I feel myself sinking, I listen and allow the words to wash over me. You might want to do that. You might want, in fact, I'll put it on my Facebook page, Sheila Walsh Connects. I'll put my worship playlist up there. But you can make your own. And it's just so good to be able to listen to truth when there's so much in our world that's so crazy. Well, fourth foundation stone, thanksgiving. There is great power in gratitude, in giving thanks for God's faithfulness and His love. When life is hard, though, it's challenging to be thankful. That's why I think of thanksgiving as an absolute choice, a discipline. Every day, I thank God for five things. And some days, they're things like a significant answer to prayer. Honestly, other days, it's something as simple as our older dog, Tink, sleeping through the night instead of needing to go out five times at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, during the self-isolation of the pandemic, everything that we were familiar with changed. And it was during this time that the ugly, self-protective side of brokenness showed up in me again. And honestly, I thought I'd put that to death over the years, but it'd only been sleeping. I needed to rediscover what it means to repent. Now, I know that's an old-fashioned word, but I have rediscovered that it is a life-changing gift. So Barry and I were talking with Christian one evening on a FaceTime call, and Christian was saying how grateful he was to be able to see his friends' faces on Zoom video calls because it made him feel less alone. And I'd been worried about him, and I was very grateful that he could still have some interaction with his friends. Well, my husband, Barry, is a noticer. He notices things that he thinks could be better. And halfway through the call, he noticed something about Christian's appearance. He suggested to him that he shouldn't wear his ball cap on video calls. He told him that he would look better without it. Now, that's all he said, but it triggered something in me. Old feelings of never being enough. And I totally overreacted. It went a little like this, and I share this with both of their permission. You shouldn't wear your ball cap on calls, Christian. You look much better without it. It's just my friends, Dad. They don't care. Still, if you're going to be a clinical psychologist, you should get used to presenting a professional front. I don't want to be that kind of counselor, Dad. I want to be real, be myself, be approachable. I still think you would look better without it. Enter me. Why do you always have to make such shallow comments, Barry? You make me so angry. He looks great the way he is, better than you do sitting there in your same old torn pajamas you've been wearing for months. Well, as you can probably imagine, The call went quiet after that. I mean, it shut Barry down, it shut Christian down, and it was like a tsunami of guilt washed over me as I thought back to a counselling session the three of us had had just a few years before. The kind of genesis of that session was that I felt that Barry, at times, was too critical of Christian, so we all had agreed to a family counselling session. I'd hoped the counsellor could help Barry see the impact of criticism, but by the end of the session, I realised that the real problem was actually me. I asked Christian how I might be contributing to any tension in the home, and honestly, I expected him to say that it wasn't me, it was his dad. That's not what he said. He said this, "Mom, I don't want to hurt your feelings." I told him that he had complete permission to hurt my feelings. This is what he said, "Mom, when you get in the middle, it makes things worse. Dad and I love each other. Yes, he's hard on me at times, but we can sort it out, the two of us." Wow, I left that session determined to change, proud of him that he was able to say what he was feeling, because I could see that all I was doing was turning the heat up on a situation that they could honestly work through together. My emotional responses as a mother were far more difficult for them to handle than the differences they were experiencing as father and son. But now, here we were again, this time on a FaceTime call. I didn't know what to say. No, that's not true. I did. I should have asked for forgiveness straight away. I just didn't. Christian kind of laughed it off, saying he had a paper to write and signed off. Barry asked me if I wanted to talk, and I shook my head, so he headed upstairs to bed. And I sat on the sofa in our den, feeling about 5 years old again, alone and trapped. When I resist quick repentance, I quickly fall into dark places. Old suicidal thoughts come back to torment me. Despair and feelings of hopelessness rise up like flood water in the basement of my soul. Familiar lies had found their voice once again. You'll never change. You're too broken. Life is too hard. You can't do this. But this is what I want you to hear. The most powerful lesson I've learned over the years is this. There is power in the name of the Lord. No matter what you're facing, no matter how hard it is or how dark it feels, there is power in the name of Jesus. As the tears began to pour down my cheeks, I didn't wait a minute more. I called out his name, Jesus. I called his name over and over. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I got down on my knees in the den and I asked for forgiveness. I raised my arms to heaven and felt the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit filling me with peace. Simply put, I repented. Repentance is an old-fashioned sounding word, but it has a very simple, powerful, life-changing meaning. In the Old Testament, there are two Hebrew words used to help us understand repentance. The first is the word nasham. This means to turn around or to change your mind. The second is the word sub. It's used hundreds of times in the Old Testament and is translated by words like turn, restore, or return. When you come to the New Testament, the Greek word that is translated repent is metanoia, which literally means to change your mind. Notice this. There is nothing here about being sorry. Repentance is not an emotion. It's an action. We can say sorry a million times over, but if we don't turn around, if we don't change our mind, then nothing changes. So, what could I have done that night when Barry's comments triggered such a sinful response in me? Well, I could have told them the truth. I could have said, wow, I'm not sure what's going on with me, but those comments made me feel bad inside. I think I need a few moments alone. I could have locked myself in the bathroom in God's presence and let him love me. I love, love, love this quote from Tim Keller. The gospel is this. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we're more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. It's the worst news and the best news in the same sentence, and the order matters. If we only focus on the love and acceptance of Jesus, we see no need to own our flaws. Sin is not just about doing bad things. It's about putting anything else in the place that only God can fill. God doesn't want our stuff. He wants us. He wants our whole self, our 100%, this is who I am, good, bad, and ugly self. The truth is that we are all messed up. Some of us just do a much better job of concealing it than others. But here's the great news. We don't have to hide anymore. I believe that God is offering us a whole new way to live, a way to live in radical freedom and grace. What might that look like? Let me give you a little picture. I have a friend whose son used to love to run outside naked when he was about 4 years old. I remember asking him one day why he'd like to do that. And he said, it just feels good to have the sun all over me. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment that we should adopt this darling boy's interesting habit. What I am saying is that don't you think it would be wonderful to be spiritually naked before God? No secrets, no closed doors, no hiding at all. When we mess up in big or little ways, to live in the grace of quick repentance. Can you imagine how good it would feel? How good it would be to feel the love of God all over you? It would be a whole new way to live and to love. Now, honestly, I'm not proud of that outburst that happened. I'd love to say it was 20 years ago, but it wasn't. It was just about a year ago. But the great lesson in all of it is that no matter whether we've known the Lord for 5 minutes or 50 years, we're still all going to mess up. I mean, you know that in your own life. And particularly in our families, where the family dynamic, you know, is always shifting, sometimes that's the hardest place to say sorry. But I have to tell you, even that one instance with Barry and Christian and I, where my response was not helpful at all, once I was able to repent and ask God to forgive me. And then, you know, I went upstairs and I talked to Barry, and of course he quickly forgave me. And I called Christian and talked to him. But since then, the three of us have been able to sit down and talk about those things. Because so often we feel we have to kind of hide that part of ourselves from God and from one another. But I think that that's a trick of the enemy, to keep our darker side in the darkness. Whereas the invitation from God is right now to bring all of who you are into the light, no matter what it is. And I've discovered I never feel more fully human and alive in Christ than when I ask for forgiveness. It's just like standing under a waterfall and being washed from head to toe. So I don't know if you feel right now like you have messed up, but I just want you to remember, God is the God of the messer-upper, and that's why Jesus came. I would love to send you my book, Holding On When You Want to Let Go, the teaching from today's Holding On story, which was holding on when you feel like you've messed up, is in that. But I would love you to help us here. Help some people who feel as if everything in life is messed up and they can't see a way out. But I want them to know, and I want you to help me show them, yes, hope is on the way. Watch this.
Perhaps the greatest fear of parents concerns the health of their children. It's especially true in Africa. Adriano is a godly father in Angola who once took pride in his ability to provide for his family. But tragedy has changed that. Adriano told us food and health are two critical issues in his community. You see, when parents take care of sick children, there's little time to farm and produce food. But without food, children's immune systems become weak and more susceptible to disease. It's a vicious cycle.
When you look at a little one like this little one's name is Balbina Natula. This color of hair, this red hair, means that the body has stopped sending nutrients to the hair. So there's no protein. These are terrible signs. And it's why mission feeding is absolutely vital for us. We want to be able to get to where help is needed now, and help is needed now in these villages, to feed their bodies so that they have strength, that we can feed their souls and spirits. You can't hear that Jesus loves you when you're starving to death. These malnutrition clinics are heartbreaking. And I think for me, one of the things that was the first impression I got was the desperation in the eyes of the mothers. Some of these mothers have to walk for miles to find a clinic. And by then, their children are usually so weak. Sometimes some of the mothers have literally lost their children on the way to the clinic. And sitting beside these moms and looking at these precious little ones who have no resistance to anything. And as a mom, I can't imagine what it is like to watch my children at night knowing that they are starving. And it's not as if these people are not lazy. These people work literally their fingers to the bone. Sometimes they're having to dig in the dirt because in some areas, it's like this huge irony. South Sudan, ridiculous flooding. And even so much so that some of our clinics have been washed away, and we're determined to rebuild these clinics. But in other parts, like Angola, the drought, there's just nothing growing. They will dig in the dirt to try and find enough to give their children something, but there's no nutrients in it. But I have watched our partners on the ground right now are waiting for you and I to help. We've made a commitment to feed 350,000 children. Now, that might seem like an overwhelming task, but here's how we break it down. If you were able today, if you were able right now to give $30, that would feed three children for 3 months. I mean, what could you do with $30 these days? $50 will feed five children. $100 feeds 10. But if you were able to give today a gift of $1,000, that will feed 100 children. That's like bringing hope to an entire village. And I have walked with some of these mothers when they're trying to find their way to get help. Can you imagine if your child is dying and you've determined, no matter how long it takes you, you're going to get to a malnutrition clinic. And when you get there, it's been washed away. Unthinkable. So we need to rebuild 16 clinics. Some of them are mobile and some of them are absolutely established in an area. For each one of those, it's $24,500 to put a whole clinic in, and that's to staff it and equip it. But each one of us can do something. Can you do $30? Can you do $50? Could you do $100? Betty once said that her prayer is that the line of children will never be longer than the food we have in the bowls. Let's make sure that never happens. Will you please call now? The need is urgent. Please call. Please call now and give the very best gift that you can. Thank you.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50 or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. Also, please consider an extra gift to help immediately rebuild malnutrition clinics destroyed by record flooding in South Sudan. This urgent need is $392,000 above our normal feeding budget and is critical to help save the lives of those who are suffering most. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you Christmas Grace. This eye-opening new 31-day devotional will give you a fresh perspective on the greatest gift ever given and the life-transforming hope found in Christ's birth. With your gift of $100 or more, request the Love and Thanks Tumblr set. With scriptures reminding us that God's love never fails and to always give thanks, these tumblers will keep drinks hot or cold wherever you go. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I'm thrilled beyond words to know that as you partner with Life Today to bring nutrition and hope to those who are in such desperate need, that you'll receive my newest devotional, Christmas Grace, as an expression of their profound thanks. I believe with all my heart that if you'll request this new devotional and follow it through the holiday season right up to the new year, you'll come away with new insights about the birth of the Savior and a deeper love for Him. Call or go online right now to share and request your copy today.
Thank you so much. What a privilege. For any gift at all, we'd love to send you this beautiful book, Christmas Grace, 31 Meditations and Declarations on the Greatest Gift Ever Given. For a gift of $100 or more, we'll send you these beautiful tumblers, a daily reminder of the goodness and grace of God. But please, help us today. Let's make this the best Christmas for us and the best Christmas for these people because we have reached out and changed their circumstances. Those of us who've received so much from the Lord, let's be ones who give out of a grateful heart. So for all of us here at Life, we love you. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next time.
Tomorrow on Life Today, best-selling author Michael Todd shares the ups and downs while continuing to believe in his son's healing. Tomorrow, Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.